and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Here I am in my new $1,000 t-shirt.
Yeah. How about that, Ann Romney?
I'm no Ann Romney. All right. This is like, I don't know, $5. Target, something like that. Okay. However, I am sporting my boogity boogity cheese hat in honor of Aisha Tyler, who's joining Sexy Liberal. Coming up May 12th. Tickets almost gone in Minneapolis.
Right.
And I believe these will be available only at the venue, and she's bringing her Boogity Cheese t-shirts.
That's right.
For those of you new to the Stephanie Miller Show, it was just something hilarious Aisha blurted once on the show.
Yes.
That when they do brain surgery, yeah, you're awake.
Right. They're poking around to see what part of the brain they're looking for. And
right.
Once they hit the part where it says where you say boogity boogity cheese,
that, then you know they've gone too far.
Yes.
That's the wrong part.
Then
yeah.
You don't want to touch that part.
No, that's the bad part, the boogity cheese part.
Mm-hmm.
And the I'm a sexy liberal and I'm too sexy to vote Republican hats apparently flying off the shelves at sexyliberal.com. So
that's what old man Hartenbaum said.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mr. Potter, the guy that owns the show.
Old man Hartenbaum.
I don't know where that came from.
Oh, and this just in breaking news. Aisha Tyler is also going to be in for the Boston show.
That's right.
Hal Sparks on tour with his band. He's going to be in Germany an extra long time. So Aisha Tyler also in for the June 9th Boston show. Sporting boogity caps and t-shirts. So join us for that one at the Wilbur Theater. Tickets also going fast for that one. We're very excited.
Hooray!
In Germany, he will change his name to Helmut Funken.
Yes. Exactly.
Funken of Sparks.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Jim and I were just looking at what was the headline that we're going to hear Osama's last words at some point? Or his last things?
Tweets.
You know, his last tweets. OMFG.
And there's also 10
he
things.
He tweeted?
Well, he didn't tweet. No, but.
I hope he turned off location services so that they wouldn't be able
to... That's how they got him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
Also, we know he wanted to kill President Obama, fantasized about blowing up oil tankers. He was a hoarder, extensive foreign collection, check, liked to wash himself, threatened by the Arab Spring, largely isolated in play. As we also know, also Whitney Houston fan and the B-52s.
Yes.
Not the bombers that were trying to kill
him. No. The band.
Yes.
The band.
Oh, that Fred Schneider. Well, when will you find a nice girl and settle down?
Well, there's a lesson in the dangers of watching porn. Oh, I love naughty girls of a bottom bottom. What's that sound? Oh, it's probably nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's someone at the door. This is my favorite part.
Oh, hang on. Okay.
Mother told me I'd go blind if I did this, but...
But not like this. Okay. All right, kids. You know what? I'm just sitting around reading Carl Frisch tweets.
Oh, yeah.
And he was very funny this morning.
Yeah. Cheating on me.
Catting around.
Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Oh, you slut. Slut. Look at you with Bill Press all morning. Having foreplay.
If you see a faded bunker at the side of the road, it's a 15 miles to Abbottabad.
Oh, Carl Frisch, you scamp.
I'm curious.
I got a compound. It's as big as a whale.
I'm curious, and it's filled with porn to the gills. If a t-shirt is $1,000 where Ann Romney shops, how much is the magic underwear?
Yeah, there you go.
Carl Louise, look at you. By the way, what was this tweet? Perhaps I can interest you in ex-heterotherapy?
I get lovely fan mail most of the time from your listeners.
Yes.
Every now and then I get mail that I would classify as hate mail.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Welcome to the club.
Hello.
So I started a Tumblr account where I chronicle my hate mail, my hate tweets, the messages that I get on Facebook that are less than friendly.
Right.
And most recently it was suggested to me that I should undergo ex-gay counseling.
Oh.
Because... as every reputable scientist knows that works.
Yes.
According to this person.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. Or maybe, you know, if you should bend your wrist, you know, just get a punch from that North Carolina preacher.
Wow.
Right. Yeah.
That'll fix it.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
Because if you believe them and you're wanting to fix the bonds of parenthood and child, and this is what they actually believe. No matter how well adjusted your relationship is with your parents, they believe that you have a damaged relationship with your father and an overbearing mother. And the only way that you can really fix that is by having a father that punches you.
Yes, right. Yes. Promoting child abuse, lovely. In the name of God, of course.
Right.
By the way, we all know that your real obsession is your dog, Dexter Von Frisch.
That's right.
See, I thought I was a little crazy. I mean, if you go to Steph's dog session at StephanieMiller.com, I see my pants and the romantic man.
Oh, boy.
You, however, have an entire Facebook page. Go like my pup, Dexter Von Frisch's Facebook page. Check out all
Dexter
his new photos and videos.
Dexter set that up.
He set all this up.
Okay, so you've got photos, videos, and a Facebook page for Dexter.
I just hope Dexter has a pause-free device when he's driving.
Well, he has a pun-free device. But he's on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. And
yeah, you've gone around the bend, my friend.
Yeah, okay. A little bit.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Sean Hannity, on the Bin Laden raid again.
And yesterday marked the one-year anniversary of the day that the brave men of SEAL Team 6 delivered justice to Osama bin Laden. And for the past several days, Obama and his re-election spin machine, well, they've been taking a victory lap, glossing over who the real heroes are.
Oh, you idiot.
Mm-hmm. First of all, he's not glossed over anything. He thanks the SEALs anytime he has an opportunity. Second of all, I'm still waiting for somebody to water torture Sean Hannity.
Yes, that's right, because he offered.
He offered.
He offered to be waterboarded.
Yeah.
What a pansy.
Jim. Louise.
Good God.
Org. Okay.
I'm not suggesting his father punch him in the face. I'm just saying.
All right.
He said he wanted to be waterboarded, and he hasn't done it.
Nope. All right. Rush Limbaugh on the Bin Laden raid.
That mission accomplished banner was, I think, requested by the sailors on that boat.
Damn sailors.
And the mission was accomplished, getting rid of Saddam Hussein. The mission to get rid of Saddam was accomplished.
Yeah.
What Obama's doing is incomparable. No other president's ever done anything like this. We have never had as narcissistic, as self-absorbed a human being in the Oval Office as we have now. I don't think we've ever had anybody this delusional.
Wow.
First of all, was Hussein dead at that point when he claimed mission
accomplished? Captured yet.
Not even close.
No. He wasn't even captured yet, I don't think.
And that's that lie that was perpetrated. The sailors did not ask for the banner.
No. It would be the president's political team. But, you know, the unfortunate thing is that when Rush first saw the mission accomplished banner, he thought it was a sash for some kind of beauty pageant he had entered.
All right. Speaking of beauties, Dick Morris on O'Reilly.
When the president says something like, a new day is dawning, the tide has turned, he's really going out there and making himself a hostage. Because then if the Taliban has another week like they did 3 or 4 weeks ago, where they go around and bomb everything in sight, including right there in the green zone, I think that he's going to have some problems. So I think that it was a good week, but I think he overreached and it could come back to haunt him.
Like, let's press do. Why does anybody listen to this guy anymore? I mean,
he's wrong about everything.
He's not paying you for your time, there should be no reason for you to spend any time with him.
Well, and isn't the undercurrent that, gee, I hope things go badly in Afghanistan? Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, that obviously is. I mean, remember, these are all the guys that said, you know, there was going to be a terrorist attack on Obama's watch. And they were pretty much gleeful waiting for it to happen. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if he's not paying you for your time, there's no point in listening to him. And that would better come with a continental breakfast.
All right. Lou Dobbs on Fox Business Channel.
We want to take a closer look at the president's new campaign slogan, Forward. I love this. I love this as a slogan. Forward. The Obama campaign apparently didn't look backwards into history when selecting its new campaign slogan. Or maybe they did. That's because Forward has a very long history with Marxists and socialists and communists.
No. The Social Democrats.
Wow.
So, you know, meanwhile, you know, what do you think Lou Dobbs said when his television show slogan was rejected by the folks at Fox Business, when he said, I want it to be Lou Dobbs tonight, Mein Kampf.
Yeah. Just spitballing here.
Yeah.
By the way, Jim, did you hear Mitt Romney did some humor about the president's slogan?
Oh, I bet.
He said he was
That's
talking.
That's a knee slapper, I'm sure.
And this you won't believe. He was speaking to high-dollar donors at the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh, wow.
Does he have any other kinds?
Or as Mitt affectionately calls it, The pool house.
Yes. He poked fun at President Obama's newly unveiled slogan, Forward, remarking, Forward, what, over a cliff?
Oh my God.
Rich guy horse laugh. I bet you that killed at the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh, my side. But only my right side.
Oh, God.
Today.
All right. Brian Fisher. Oh, really?
Yeah.
American Family Radio.
Yeah.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely huge that a homosexual activist in a very prominent place in Mitt Romney's campaign has stepped down. He has resigned, and it's very clear from the Washington Post that he resigned because of pressure that was put on the Romney campaign by the pro-family community. I will flat out guarantee you he is not going to make this mistake again.
Mm.
There is no way in the world that Mitt Romney isn't going to put a homosexual activist in any position of importance in his campaign.
Wow, they will play in none of our reindeer games,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
A couple things here. This guy is not a gay activist.
No, he's a gay.
You know, it's questionable whether or not he even supported much of the agenda.
They don't like people that are actively gay, Carl. You can be passively gay.
Right. He was just gay. And this is not pro-family movement. This is an anti-gay movement.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not all, you know, pro-all families. And the Romney campaign is cowardly, and as if we are surprised. I mean, I had a feeling from the day that they announced this hire that they would end up firing the guy. And this is a guy, Grinnell, who said that President Obama's policies towards gay people were the same as Mitt Romney. So maybe he wasn't fired for being gay. Maybe he was fired for being delusional.
Oh, when he told me he was gay, I thought he was just happy. I misinterpreted
it. I had no idea.
You know, my brain is set to 1927 Oxford American Dictionary gay.
Yeah. By the way, I'm just curious, Carl, have any of these men of God, these religious right, has anybody condemned this preacher that basically, you know, was encouraging child abuse?
No, but David Pakman called the church and got the secretary to say, no, nobody here believes that. And he says, well, I've got a recording of it. And she says, I'm very busy. I'll have to go.
Yeah. Oh, well, here it is. We have it. If they would helpfully like a review. This is this anti-gay, which, by the way, I mean, right now that in North Carolina, you talked about it. The amendment looks like it's going to win, you know, unless really people, activate to coin a phrase, in North Carolina.
I resent you calling this preacher who said that you should punch your sons if they are, you know, have a bent wrist. He's actually a pro-family preacher,
yeah.
Stephanie.
Yeah,
pardon me. Well, let me, you know what, Carl, stay in the sidecar with Dexter, and we'll play it again. If you haven't heard this, because we played it, I think, an hour or three yesterday.
Right.
Nothing says pro-family like punching your kid in the face.
Yes, exactly. 20 minutes after the hour, back with, what's his name?
Carl
Frisch. You know, when he cheats on me, I boop, he's gone. He's dead to me. We'll be back with Carl and that audio of the anti-gay preacher as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 25 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch of Bullfight Strategies rejoins us to finish up Right Wing World. Carl, we were talking about this anti-gay preacher in North Carolina. So tell me, first of all, this is a pretty extreme anti-gay amendment in North Carolina because it bans not just marriage equality but civil unions, mm-hmm. right?
Civil unions, domestic partnerships. If you are a public employee and your spouse gets health care benefits and that spouse happens to be the birth parent of your child, your child and your partner will be thrown off of their health insurance and their other, you know, benefits. And then not only that, but unmarried couples of any combination, whether it's two men and two women or you know, two men, two women, or opposite gender couples that are not married could lose a host of protections, whether it's from spousal abuse or other things.
And marriage equality is already illegal by statute in North Carolina.
Exactly.
This goes even further by outlawing any kind of civil union whatsoever.
And it also invalidates, like I said, all those domestic partnership benefits that maybe local cities that are more progressive have set up.
And, Carl, this vote is next week, and the last polling I saw looked that, like it's going to pass.
Yeah, it's up by 14, but the gap is narrowing. It's next Tuesday, the 9th. People can go to protectallfamilies.org and check out the campaign. Give money if you can. They need it.
And this is, by the way, so the kind of rhetoric that's been going on in the name of God, I've heard not one person on the right, Republican, religious right person, condemn this preacher. What's his name?
Sam
Harris. Right?
Harris, yeah.
Yeah.
Dads, the second you see your son dropping the limp wrist, you walk over there and crack that wrist. Man up. Give him a good punch. Okay? You're not going to act like that. You were made by God to be a male, and you're going to be a male. And when your daughter starts acting too butch, you rein her in. And you say, oh, no. You can play sports. Play them to the glory of God. But sometimes you're going to act like a girl and walk like a girl and talk like a girl and smell like a girl. And that means you're going to be beautiful. You're going to be attractive. You're going to dress yourself up.
I guess if your daughter's just ugly, you should, you know.
I can see how he won Star Search.
Sean Harris is his
name. Oh, Sean Harris.
Sam Harris is a very different person.
Yeah. So if your daughter's just not pretty, even if she's not gay, you should probably punch her just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Nothing like manning up and showing everybody you're a man by beating your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got to punch my son and show him a man.
All right, let's finish with Bill O'Reilly and Dennis Miller on Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, a Harvard professor, who's getting a lot of money from Hollywood and all the far left.
And
apparently Ms. Warren, on her resume at some point, said that she was a Native American because she was born in Oklahoma. That turns out not to be true. So now she's in trouble.
Her Indian name is Spreading Bull.
What bull?
Spreading Bull.
See, that's her nickname.
She's landed on a little thick.
You can tell it's particularly funny when you crack yourself up to that degree.
Dennis Miller's Indian name is Pathetic Comic.
In American name.
Yeah,
too.
It has been
in
for
English
about
as well.
Years now.
Yeah. What's sue for not funny?
Dennis Miller. Actually.
And can we sue him for being that not funny?
Not funny, yes.
All right. Hey, lady Slavin. Carl Frisch, great stuff. Give the website again for the North Carolina amendment.
I think it's protectallfamilies.org. If not, just Google no on Amendment 1 North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Carl. Give Dexter a kiss on the mouth for me.
I will. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Yay. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Go check out Dexter von Frisch. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
A weaver of dreams at the loom of the mind. A neat thing I just said.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why, looky here, it's another unsolicited testimonial to the Power of the Steph Show from Dennis. Steph, been a fan for years but live in radio wasteland. Found you on Current. Now my life is complete. Thank you, Current, for completing lives. For weeks, my day started with I'll shave and shower after Step. Now you're on from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. They do the replay. They replay the least crappy hour.
That's right.
My suggestion.
But the same still stands. I'll shave and shower after Step. See? People getting cleaner and less hairy. Thanks to our show and the power of Current Television. Oh, speaking of which,
improving grooming habits across the nation.
Jim, speaking of the power of Current, who said... When we were on our knees, he wanted to stick a shiv in our backs. That's all you need to know about Mitt Romney. Who said that?
Captain Kangaroo.
No! Governor Jennifer Granholm of the fabulous...
That wasn't close at all.
Of the fabulous show on Current, on the very same Current TV. We love us some Governor Jennifer Granholm.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to carry the four. Christine in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I heard you guys earlier were talking about that the right is all concerned and up in a roar, whatever, about Obama's motto for the campaign, which part of it is saying forward.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So in Wisconsin, which is where I am, the state motto here since 1851 has been forward.
Forward.
And yes, and what is interesting about that, is the meaning behind it is that Wisconsin should be a leader in the country. Okay? So, and if you look that up, that's what's on the state's website at wisconsin.gov. But Walker, you know, the recall governor, that whole thing, he has a TV ad out right now where it shows a Jeep going up a hill saying that he is driving the state forward, okay, and then the truck slips down the hill saying that the Democrats are trying to drag it backward.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's interesting that Walker is using forward because it's the state motto, and yet all the right wing
yes.
is saying that that's Marxist and socialism.
But he did this with his hands when he said it, so that's a good
so
motto. When President Obama does it,
right. That makes
wrong.
Him Marxist.
Yeah. There's more on the story, Jim. This is like says everything you need to know. Mitt Romney makes fun of Obama campaign slogan during a high-dollar fundraiser. First of all, if you look at his fundraising, there is no other kind.
Right. It's
only,
all high-dollar.
Only rich people giving to his campaign. I mean, remember how Obama, largely on the power of very small donations,
mm-hmm.
made what, you know.
The interwebs.
Right, he raised last time.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney, this evening, this is last night, speaking to a group of high-dollar donors at the Ritz-Carlton. Oh, you can only imagine how insufferable that was. Poked fun at the slogan, remarking forward, what, over the cliff? Oh, my God. At first, however, Romney seemed to muddle the president's campaign slogan. He originally said, his new slogan is progress. No, forward. Forward, that's it. Progress would be better. I might use that one myself, actually.
Wow.
What?
Oh, my God.
He makes no sense.
I'm just going to keep talking until something comes out that makes some kind of sense.
No.
Hasn't happened yet. But there's always hope or progress or
who
something.
Wasn't scrambled word sausage? Okay. People paid up to $10,000.
My slogans are just the right height.
They paid up to $10,000 for access to the candidate. And who wouldn't pay $10,000 just to do the backstroke and all that authenticity?
I paid $10,000 to make him go away.
Well, there is that.
All that warmth. Okay, let's go to Griffin in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Griffin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Okay. Do you remember Monty Python's Flying Circus?
Of course.
Sure.
Do you remember the sketch Confuse-a-Cat?
Yes.
I do not remember
My
that one.
God, I hope it works.
It seems like the Republicans are trying to drop the cat and put in voter. Confuse the voter.
Yeah.
Confuse the get them so befuddled and don't know what's going on. You'll
yep.
accidentally vote to cut your own throat.
Yeah, that's exactly right. By the way, wow-wee, that was quite a full-throated endorsement from Newt Gingrich, huh?
Frankly, it's always full-throated coming from me, frankly.
Yeah.
Was there an endorsement?
Sort of. I think the most tepidest ever, which is saying something in this campaign cycle.
Wouldn't suck as much as the other guy, I guess.
And he really did mention the moon colony. In
yes.
his speech.
Yes, he said today, I'm suspending my campaign, but suspending the campaign does not mean suspending citizenship. He will be a citizen on the moon where he will soon be president.
I'm going to be king of the moon, frankly.
He, at the end of his remarks, he tepidly endorsed Romney. I'm asked sometimes, is Mitt Romney conservative compared to Barack Obama? This is not a choice between Mitt Romney and Ronald Reagan. It's a choice between Mitt Romney and the most radical leftist president in history.
That wasn't an endorsement. There was not an endorsement
in there.
No,
that was a full-throated, it's better than that. Black guy.
And he's not the most leftist president.
No.
A long shot.
No.
FDR, maybe you could say, because he was exactly what the country needed at the time.
Yes.
Or his cousin Teddy, for that matter. Who was a Republican.
Who's a Republican, yes.
One of my favorite Gingrich moments is when he criticized Paul Ryan's Medicare reform proposal, calling it right-wing social engineering, and then he apologized and said that anyone who quoted him was acting dishonestly. Anyone who quoted his comments exactly.
Dishonest, repeat what I said.
Yeah.
Shut up, frankly.
Bless his heart.
Megan in Chicago. Hi, Megan. Welcome.
Morning, Steph. Morning, Mooks.
Morning.
Morning.
Can somebody please tell me what the what Dennis Miller is on and where I can get some? Oh, my God, he was maniacal last night. I half expected to see Marty Feldman walking behind him with a prosthetic hump. I was crazed.
I can help you.
Perhaps I could help you with that hump.
What hump?
Hey, listen, can I be the official single working mom working two jobs,
OCD,
borderline neurotic alcoholic for the show?
Good for you. Good for you. Uniquely American.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Meg. Let's go to, where is it? Scott and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scotty.
Hi there.
Hi.
I wanted to share with you that yesterday I went ahead and called the church where Sean Harris prophesizes his hate, and I got no answer there, but apparently there's a school, well, not apparently, there's also a school associated with that church. So I called the school, and I spoke with a woman there who assured me the following. She assured me that Reverend Harris was a good man, that he loves children, and the whole thing was taken out of context.
Ah, of course.
When I queried, stressing queer, when I queried further, she could not tell me his position on raising children who exhibit cross-gender traits or, little boys that might be interested in dolls and action figures. I asked a lot of questions, and she had no response to that. So I just wanted to call and share that with you all. And
well, I think the response is simple. You should punch them.
Right.
I wonder if they punch the little sissy boys at that school, just to get them straight.
Keep them in line,
just to knock the gay out of them. Yeah. Okay. All right. Awesome.
Wow.
Good. Yes. Lots of answers there.
Child Protective Services needs to investigate that school if he advocates that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's particularly.
Can a rent boy be far away in his future?
Look, I punched him. Look how manly I am. After I paid him.
I have a bad back. I can't carry my own bags.
I just had to hire him to hold my sack. Get carry my bags.
Sack. Bag. My particular favorite thing is that if your daughter's not pretty, maybe you can just shake her into being... No, still ugly.
Punch her till she's pretty.
Yeah, punch her till she's pretty.
Or just throw a bunch of makeup at her and see if something...
Just like in the old time. Makeup!
Pow.
Yeah. Okay. Carol in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi, I'm calling from Redneck Country.
Redneck, Pennsylvania, I know it well.
Yeah. Pennsylvania, right.
Oh, then you can have sympathy for me. My proposal to save millions and millions of dollars for our Republican friends is for them to give up all their health care free that the government gives them, whatever their position in government is, governor, Congress, Senate, and especially Scott Brown should give his up. And I wanted to get your opinion on that. Look at the money we could save if they stop taking free health care from us. If we can't
have look at Scott Brown in Massachusetts. His 23-year-old daughter is on, of course, his family. Socialist government health care, thanks to President Obama.
Right.
But, he does, and he'll have options if Obamacare is repealed and she's not on his. But the rest of us may not. God, just like Mitt Romney saying, just borrow money from your parents to start a business. Like everybody's parents have.
Borrow rich, borrow $50,000. What's the problem?
Yeah. Von Seal in Asheville, North Carolina, on Amendment 1. Hello, Von Seal.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Correct something that the fabulous Carl Frisch said. Next Tuesday is the 8th, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
And it's important because that's the day we vote on Amendment 1.
Okay.
So I thought maybe for a while he was a Republican,
operative.
Operative, trying to throw us off by the date. The other thing is Billy Graham allegedly, I think Billy Graham is now a puppet of Franklin Graham, but that's my personal opinion. There are 9 full-page ads in papers all over the state in which Billy Graham comes out against Amendment 1. People that know Billy Graham,
we get confused.
Yeah, is that good or bad?
Is Amendment 1, that's what we're asking.
No, we had the same thing with Prop 8 here.
I've gotten confused. He's come out in favor of Amendment 1.
Okay.
Which is the anti-gay amendment. Right. Okay.
It's a bad day all around for us.
Vote no on yes.
Yes, exactly. So he has come out in favor of Amendment 1. A scholar that studied Billy Graham for years says he's never really, in his history, has he come out in favor or against a social policy like this. So you know it's the fine hand of Franklin Graham at this.
So, and Von Ciel, for people listening in North Carolina, let's because we had this confusion in California.
Yeah.
Amendment 1 is the anti-gay amendment that will be voted on next Tuesday. So vote no on Amendment 1, right?
It's actually vote against.
Against. Go vote against.
The ballot will say, are you for or against Amendment 1?
Against
and
one.
You are against Amendment 1.
All right.
And
by the way, Mom, I'm talking to you. Cancel that bridge game.
There you go.
Okay.
And Raleigh, by the way, our state capital, does offer partner benefits.
Right. And so those would go away if Amendment 1 passes.
Those would go away.
Yeah.
And those who are in favor of Amendment 1 are spreading the lie that Amendment 1 will not affect these benefits. It's so vague. It's so written so poorly that it could be interpreted all kinds of ways.
Yep,
absolutely.
That's what they did with Prop 8 out here.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Exactly. It's
all right,
serious business, folks.
All right, Von Ciel. Thank you, honey. All right, free creme brulee for everybody that votes. oh, I'm sorry. Is that too much? Did I overpromise on behalf of the owner of the snooty elitist French restaurant at the Stephanie Miller Show?
That might even be illegal to try and buy votes like that.
All right. I was just spitballing. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
All the time, bitch.
Good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joshua Hirsch, reporter extraordinaire, live from Afghanistan.
Yep.
After the top of the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, by the way, Romney joined the Bush-Cheney smear campaign on John Kerry's national security record in 2004. Because, you know, now he's a little bit whiny.
Yeah.
About the president talking about his success in the bin Laden raid. Mitt Romney doesn't like it. The President Obama's re-election campaign in a new video has decided to tout the president's decision to order the raid that killed bin Laden based on his comments in 2007, saying, you know, that he wouldn't have done the same thing, that Obama was taking the wrong blah, 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 blah. Back in 2004, though, President Bush ran a smear campaign, as you recall, against Senator John Kerry, which undermined his service in Vietnam, questioned his ability and determination to protect the United States. Remember Dick Cheney said, if we make the wrong choice, the danger is we'll get hit again?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if you vote for John Kerry, terrorists will kill you. It was essentially their whole campaign. Romney willfully participated in the Bush-Cheney smear campaign on Kerry in 2004. In an August interview in 2004, he suggested Kerry would twiddle his thumbs when dealing with terrorism.
Oh.
And in September 2004, also on Fox News, Romney said Kerry is too much of a, wait for it, flip-flopper.
Oh, no, he didn't.
To protect the country. He said, I think people know pretty well that he's a guy who has a hard time finding which side of a position to come down on.
Oh, wow. Really?
You just really just fill in your own joke there. In his 2008 RNC speech, Romney blasted Obama as untrustworthy when it comes to combating the threat from radical violent jihad.
Wow. But now that he has done something about it, it's like, stop bragging.
It's not fair to
that's not, well, that's so unseemly.
Mike in Kansas City, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, you sexy liberal. First of all, I want to say, bring your show to the heartland, Lawrence or Columbia or Kansas City.
Oh,
but, you know, I heard on Fox News someone might have said somewhere that Ann Romney probably shopped on the clearance rack and got a two-for-one deal on that T-shirt.
Yes, oh, I'm sure. I'm sure probably only came down to, you know, $500 a T-shirt, two for one. Okay. Where the hell do you even buy a $1,000 T-shirt? Seriously?
I have no
idea.
That's
so top 1%.
At the 999,000-cent store.
Yay! Jim Ward with the tip in. All right. Oh, somebody tweeted me a sweet thing because we were talking about the anti-gay preacher that's apparently you can shake your daughter pretty.
Yeah, and yeah. Albatross tweets, if shaking makes little girls prettier, did someone put Steph into a paint mixer?
Thank you.
You have a fan.
Isn't that cute?
From Wolf Child. Just add
there
paint.
Is help for former Wolf children. Patrice in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Patrice.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I'm not sure if you've checked out Obama's website where he has a listing of all of Mitt Romney's seven offshore bank accounts.
Oh.
And the amount of the bank accounts.
Gosh,
and,
I thought he believed in America.
I'm a man of the people.
That's so strange.
Not the American people.
Exactly. And I have yet to hear Romney respond to that. I think also, too, they have so much stuff on Romney besides the flip-flops, the lies, and everything. I think they have so much stuff on him, it's like, where do we start? And I also think, too, there's something bigger that hasn't been said yet that's going to come out about Mr. Romney. And I think Romney knows it. That's why he's doing all these preemptive strikes, because he knows he knows Obama's coming after him. And it's going to be on the economic front. And apparently, you know, according to the media, Romney's strength is supposed to be the economy. I doubt very seriously if that's going to be the case, especially after the debate.
Right. Patrice, I think they've done a pretty good job, don't you, on the Obama campaign. They haven't even started yet. We haven't started the general election yet, and they've kind of ripped Romney's records to shreds, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The mittens yesterday. Mitt Romney.
He's taken to attacking success.
No, he hasn't.
He's taken to dividing the American people. He's taken to finding scapegoats for his own failures, finding some way to explain why it is that 3.5 years into his presidency, this economy is still bumping along the bottom.
Because he's cleaning up the mess that your guy left behind.
Yes. I'm going to go blaming Bush again. Yes, because Bush did it.
And one of his top donors, by the way, that Romney's economic advisor takes seriously, just wrote a book about how you know what we need in this country, Jim? More income inequality.
Sure.
That sounds fair.
It has, of course, skyrocketed in the last several decades, especially since the Great Depression, so much so it's now worse than the Ivory Coast and Pakistan, our income inequality. Maybe even worse, according to some economists, than in ancient Rome, a society built on slave labor.
Yeah.
The income inequality, of course, crushing the middle class. Don't tell that to Edward Conward. Conward is a top donor to Romney. He gained notoriety during the campaign as a million-dollar mystery donor. Oh, he was Mitt's mystery date. Who set up a shell company to shield his identity. Conrad, he was a former director at, Bain Capital.
Oh,
there it is.
Oh, there.
Working on a new book in which he argues income inequality is a good thing and that what the U.S. really needs is more of it.
Well, it's good for me. So, therefore.
Trickle down again, only worse. He aggressively argues in the book the enormous growing income equality in the U.S. is not a sign the system's rigged. On the contrary, it's a sign our economy is working. And if we had a little more of it, then everyone, particularly the 99%, would be better off.
By which she means dead?
Conrad instead, I love this, he argues that income inequality helps everyone because investors grow wealthy by creating products that benefit the 99%.
Oh, God.
We have to make the shopping carts that you keep your belongings in as you live under a bridge. Someone's got to make those. Are you going to gather your tawdry little...
Shafe in the chat room says, do you need to wash a $900 t-shirt in the tears of the underprivileged?
Yes.
You do. You can't just launder that anywhere.
No. That's your ancient Chinese secret.
That's funny. But it's true.
Yeah.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Joshua Hirsch, live from Afghanistan, a reporter for the Huffington Post, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer, Crystal Boy, Boyce Deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Check it out. Oh, yes, and you can get Boogity, or you can get Boogity Cheese hats if you go live to the show coming up next in Minneapolis with Aisha Tyler.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour made Minneapolis one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota nice.
On May 12th, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, featuring movie, television, and radio personality John Fugelsang, actress, comedian, and co-host of The Talk, Aisha Tyler, and mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You're darn tootin'.
Come on in, tell me, mama.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota, join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sexiness.
Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
Mm-hmm. You know what takes chutzpah is endorsing Mitt Romney after you said he can't beat Obama. That's not going to happen.
Oh, God.
We'll talk about that.
I'm going to vote for him. It's going to happen.
Yay!
I'll hold my nose and vote for him.
Oh, boy. Yay! Might there be an even more tepid Mitt Romney endorsement in the offing today? Perhaps.
I'll vote for Mitt Romney when Marcus starts watching football.
I bet he likes football. Like, I bet he likes the tight ends and wide receivers and Flavin. Mm-hmm. Okay, looky here. It's another unsolicited testimonial. April in Maryland says, Mama, I'm a mini Steph head. Oh, I think we're getting Steph head hats as well.
Okay.
At sexyliberal.com. Not only do I listen to the show online, WCPT, in Chicago, yay. I listen again in the afternoon. Steph cast born at 5 a month when you buy a year in advance. Thank you. I've also got volume 1 of the Sexy Liberal, the comedy album, really? You're kidding.
Wow.
Now I have to rush home, feed my 4 cats, do my chores quickly so I can sit and enjoy a replay of a random hour of Mama and the Mooks on Current TV.
The least crappy hour. It's not random.
It's not random. It's the least crappy hour every day. It gets re-aired at 6 p.m.
Yep.
Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. So there. Yeah. Okay. All right. Speaking of Steph heads and Steph family, I have to see if I can get through this without crying. I haven't told you about this yet.
Oh.
I think we need some love music for this.
Okay.
We really are a family. We're a dysfunctional, weird little family.
Yes.
But, you know, we got Mike and Raleigh and Kenny Pick in Cleveland and Shano in New York and Danielle and Maria in Chicago and Julie in Seattle.
Shano and Danielle are now in Florida.
Right.
Right.
Von Seal, they're moving. Okay. They were in New York. Now they're in Florida. Right.
Yeah.
They're running from the law.
Yeah, they
clearly.
Are.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it, but... Von Seal and Ashville, we have friends all over the, you know, that go to all these sexy liberal shows all over the world. Okay, see, I'm starting to cry a little bit. So I think I told this story, Chicago Sexy Liberal, March 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Two of our fine, just favorite sponsors, Ray and Bonnie, Mephisto Great Lakes store in Chicago, who have become my good friends. And Bonnie's been battling cancer for a long time. And Ray had sent me this letter. Right before Chicago, she knocked on death's door, decided she didn't want any part of that. Her goal, one of many, is to vote in November. Prior to her November goal is the March 3rd visit of those sexy liberals. I hope she's strong enough to be able to attend. And she was there in a wheelchair and on oxygen. And, you know, it really was... Anyway, so Bonnie died this week. And so, please, I shouldn't have done this, but I had to. We love you, Bonnie, and we love you, Ray. If you're in Chicago, go to...
Mephisto Great Lakes
and give Ray a big kiss and a hug for me. But she was just an incredible woman. And when they were there at the show, talk about love. I mean, the way they were, I mean, that just, it was so touching to me, the way he was kissing her head and they were making jokes and just amazing, amazing sexy liberals and great people. Okay. All right. See, I shouldn't have done that, but okay. All right, then.
Great, great people.
Yes, and now on with the comedy.
Yeah.
All right. Embrace them in a big sexy liberal hug today and send them some love. All right. Let's go to who has to follow that now? Let's go to Maureen in L.A. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Mooks.
Hi.
Rush Limbaugh and every other gibbering idiot on the right has been saying President Obama does not deserve any credit for Osama bin Laden, the raid, because it was really Admiral McRaven who did it all.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going
because,
around the interwebs
well, as
right
you know,
now.
Maureen, Navy SEALs, they're really more of an improv group.
Yeah.
They just kind of, you know, do their own thing.
Hey, I know. Let's go to Pakistan.
They don't work on anyone's orders. They just kind of, you know. Do their own thing.
Right, but Admiral McRaven himself, back in December, said he would contend that President Obama was the smartest guy in the room, And he also said he showed leadership skills like a guy who had 35 years in the military.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Rush was probably just running short on time. He probably forgot. He was running up against a hard break, as they say in the radio business. He probably didn't have time for the Admiral's thoughts.
Well,
yeah,
the Admiral
you.
Added, nevermore will I vote Republican.
Yes, exactly. Oh, by the way, my stars and garters, Donald Rumsfeld, had some thoughts about this,
Jiminy
did you?
Christmas.
Jiminy Christmas.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Doesn't that just take the cake?
Several other old man phrases.
Yeah.
Yes, Donald Rumsfeld says President Obama's decision to order the raid that killed bin Laden wasn't a tough call.
No.
Adding that it would be just dumbfounding if any president had decided otherwise. You mean any other president, say, at Tora Bora?
Yeah.
That would have been dumbfounding if someone hadn't...
For two terms?
He said, I guess that was the... was one of those unknowns, those known knowns.
Unknowns and unknowns.
Where he was.
He knows that they may not know and make sure he knows what they know that he may not know.
He said, I think after spending the amount of time, the number of years, and that much money, we go with we, Kemosabe. Yeah, we increased the Special Operation Forces by about 50%. We increased their budget. Yes, the president shut down
the bin Laden group.
We increase their equipment, and they develop these skill sets and improve the intelligence. And finally, when all that comes together to not make that decision, it seemed to me would be dumbfounding. I can't imagine any president not making that decision.
You don't have to imagine it.
Yes.
Your boss did exactly that.
Yeah, because all the intelligence, it still was an unknown unknowable. No. It was
what
a
he knows
known.
They may not know, and make sure he knows what they know that he may not know.
Yeah, I don't know where he is. I don't spend that much
care.
Time. I don't spend that much time.
It's an unknown known, and I don't care.
I don't know.
I don't know, I don't care.
Great event, Sussman, Nestle, but not in your mind a tough decision? No, not at all.
Anybody could have made that.
Stars, cheese, and crackers. My stars. Rumsfeld also told Van Susteren he feels politicizing bin Laden's death is unfortunate. He said a president has to run on his record, and this was a significant accomplishment for the administration.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let me remind you and your president's record was not getting him.
Right.
Not getting him.
And your record was letting 9/11 happen.
Yeah. And politicizing 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
That administration was awful at politicizing 9/11.
The Patriot Act was the destroying the Bill of Rights.
Absolutely. And it still hasn't been repealed.
No.
Yeah. Let's go to Annette in Baton Rouge. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Annette. Hey, Annette.
Uh-oh. Yes. Maybe you guys can help me count. With Scott Walker, I mean, I know they keep saying about the Koch brothers. I mean, but if each Koch brother gave Obama $5 million, that's $10 million. Mm-hmm. That's a hell of a big difference than 10 million people giving Obama a dollar. And my second comment, I just want you guys to listen to something because it reminds me so much of the Republicans. As Obama said, no matter what he do, you know, they still talk about him. They plotting on him day and night. But and the name of it is Player Hater. So I'll let you guys listen for a few seconds.
Oh, she's DJing for us. All right, Annette.
Yo, Vin. Yo, what's up, man? Man, you heard the latest rumors? Nah, what they talking about now? Man, those Player Haters have your name out there pretty bad. Man, you know, people need to mind their own business. Yeah, you're right. Leave other people business alone.
Okay. All right, Annette.
I don't know what I'm going to do, man.
Okay. All right. I don't really know. That was, okay. We hit the post there, as they say. We were at a hard break. Okay. Thanks, Annette. I don't really understand what that was. But she put some time and thought and brought a prop to the big show today. Okay, let's go to Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hi, Sue.
Hi, good morning. I don't have any music. I'm
well,
very
thank you. What's the point of you?
Seriously. Listen, with Amendment 1 in North Carolina, we all have to get very active and contact the DNC and the Obama campaign and say, if they pass this homophobic, anti-rights thing, we should not be having a convention in Charlotte. We should not be pouring millions of dollars into a state that could pass that. And we need to use the power of all of us. I just posted it on Facebook, and I just sent a bunch of queries out. You know, when Lincoln had his convention in 1964, it was in Baltimore. It wasn't in Atlanta.
What?
Did you say Lincoln, 1964?
Yeah, I mean 18.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, my dad ran with Abraham Lincoln.
I can't imagine why.
He would have won then.
would hold a convention in a state that could possibly pass this, and then pour millions, you know how much money is going to go. You're going to go there. Everyone, you know, who wants to be there.
No, it's a good point. And I suddenly realized I was so old if my father ran with Abraham Lincoln.
I know, seriously, no. But in 1864, you know what? The convention to reelect President Lincoln was in Baltimore, in the Union, in the northern states. We didn't go to Atlanta and say, oh, let's give you money and help you rebuild while you promote slavery. Support them.
That's a good point. She's chuckling this morning. That's a good point. However, I have to weigh that moral issue on the fact that my 89-year-old Republican mother is already making me homemade vegetable soup in Charlotte, which is amazing.
Mm.
Should I give that up for civil rights? I'll think about it. 17 minutes after the hour.
Yeah, she can mail it to you.
FedEx it to me.
Yeah.
17
Throw
minutes.
Some dry ice in there. It'll be fine.
17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Is this in honor of the sunburn lady?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Did you see her?
Somebody, she took her six-year-old into a tanning
allegedly,
booth.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, and the kid got a sunburn, and so she was charged with child endangerment.
Her face literally looks like a saddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worse, it's even worse than Jan Brewer.
Just going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to you, Jan Brewer. Okay, 23 minutes after the hour. Imagine if she and Jack Palance had kids.
Yeah!
Yikes! All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
She could do one-arm push-ups with her bony finger.
Maria in Chicago. Hey, Maria.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I wanted to make a couple points. The first one with Willard. Willard Mitt Romney.
Yes.
If he keeps saying about how taxes are too high on him and the job creators, why doesn't he then release his tax returns for the last 20 years?
Right.
So he can show
he can show
look
us
how high my taxes are.
He can show how adversely that's impacted him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And my other point was on Faux News, the Shill O'Reilly show.
Uh-huh.
He talks about there's extremes on the left and on the right, and you know, and I keep thinking, well, if there's extremes on the right, and they're not in government, if they're not extreme, the Tea Partiers and the other nutjobs in Congress.
He did
what
another.
Is
he did. He did another edition of false equivalency theater.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand that. If you can't, you know, if you get raped and you get pregnant by your rapist, you can't have an abortion, that's not extreme, then what is?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. All right, Bobby in California. Hey, Bob, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Well, I just called to let you know that I had a dream, a weird dream. It was pretty weird. I was in a bar, and it was you, it was Rachel Maddow, Dave Stewart.
A priest?
And Lauren,
Dave Stewart?
And Dave Stewart or Jimmy Stewart?
Dave, no, Dave Stewart.
Okay.
And what's his name? Lawrence O'Donnell.
Uh-huh.
And I walk right up to you guys because, like, you guys are, like, the group that I count on for my information, right?
Sure.
Well, I'm just walking right up to you guys. I'm like, you guys need to make a movie. You guys need to make a movie. And then you say, well, John? No, it's John Stewart.
Yeah.
John Stewart.
Yes. John, so you look at it and you're all, well, John, should we? And he's all, I don't know. I'm going to call Michael Moore. So he calls Michael Moore, right? And then I'm like, well, what is he calling Michael Moore for? Like, oh, my God, you know?
Oh.
So he calls Michael Moore, and that was the end of the dream, you know what I mean? But
That's a sexy liberal dream. Was there any sexy liberal sex at any point, or no? That's just it?
No, I kind of heard some funny noises in the bathroom, but that was just like some crazy thing and stuff. But then I wanted to say, too, to the country, is that all this stuff, I know there's a lot of Americans that are in fear because there's always that possibility that Mitt Romney can get, you know, elected and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just channel that fear into voting for Barack Obama.
All right, good. Let's end on a patriotic note. Thank you for that. Incredibly strange call.
Long.
All right. Wow, that was almost like a kid joke.
Yeah,
magical mystery tour.
And then I go to John Stewart, and then Rachel Maddow says to you, and then
oh wait a minute, no,
I'm guessing the sexy liberals. That was probably Randy Rhodes because she's a hoa. That was probably her in the bathroom doing the nasty with somebody. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, Che Guevara, or you know, what do you call it? Fidel Castro, something. Okay, let's. Wow, that's a really weird dream. Okay, all right, Joe in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, I have to agree with Mitt Romney to fire Richard Grenell, but it really didn't have anything to do with anything but those catty comments that he posted all over Twitter.
Yes.
You know,
they were catty, sort of anti-female. They were all about women, Rachel Maddow and Hillary Clinton and Callista Gingrich. So he's a nonpartisan catty gay.
You know, and I was really glad to see Rachel come out and defend herself, you know. And, you know, being the jewelry expert that I am, I could tell at least that string of pearls that she had were genuine. You know, unlike that pearl necklace that I saw Michelle Malkin wearing this week on Fox, that was totally man-made.
All right. Okay, you know what? I hung up on that just in time.
It wasn't from Marcus, that's for sure.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, speaking of which, Michelle, let it go. Moving on. High road. Okay.
Wow.
Michelle Bachmann has finally decided to endorse Mitt Romney. Shortly before she dropped out, according to an ABC reporter, she said there was no way Romney could beat Obama. He cannot beat Obama. It's not going to happen. That's what she said. The comment came in an interview at her Iowa campaign headquarters the day before the Iowa caucuses. She had been slipping badly in the polls. But she said she expected divine intervention to bring her victory. She said, we're believing in a miracle because I know the one who gives miracles.
Mm.
Jehovah God. Oh, God. Jehovah God. The end is almost near, Jehovah God. Please.
Lord, the day is at hand.
Mm, mm, mm.
We are in the last days.
And by the way,
Jehovah God.
Please let my husband like... Okay. Mitt Romney, can he beat Obama? The reporter asked her. No, he cannot beat Obama because his policy is the basis for Obamacare. The signature issue of Obama's Obamacare. It's too identical. It's not going to happen. We have to have a candidate, a bold, distinct candidate in the likeness of Ronald Reagan.
And yet.
Yay! And now she's going to endorse him today.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. 29 minutes after the hour. Joshua Hirsch from HuffPo next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't control what I say to people. I spend the whole day talking. I mean, I video chat, I Skype, I text, I tweet, I phone, I woof.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your PC from anywhere with GoToMyPC. That's what we use. We love it. We want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. This exclusive offer, GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. GoToMyPC, promo code Stephanie. All right. Joshua Hirsch wrote a great piece. Barack Obama makes surprise visit to Afghanistan.
Yep.
He is live in Kabul right now. Reporter for the Huffington Post. Good morning, Josh.
Hi, how are you? Good morning, yeah?
Good morning. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Well, I hear the breaking news this morning. The president's speech was very well received among the Afghan people.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, Kabul functions in a slightly different sort of space than the rest of Afghanistan, so it's hard to sort of draw conclusions across the whole country. I mean, the Taliban, to be obvious, they did not react that well. They launched an attack in response to it, but there is a sort of surprising level to me at least, since I haven't been here that long, relatively surprising level of kind of warm feelings to the fact that the president came. He showed himself, even though it was the middle of the night, and established that the U.S. plans to sort of stay in a partnership here with the Afghans.
This is Ryan Crocker, U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan.
I mean, this is a long war. And it requires a long-term commitment, which is what I think the president signaled.
Josh, obviously, you know, all polling shows the American people have grown weary of this war, as well as Iraq. Do you feel like this was, you know, in a political year, though, partially a political calculation so that he wasn't going to get this complaint that he always gets from the right, that if you signal a date certain to the Taliban when you're leaving, they're just going to wait us out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that date still exists. I mean, there's a lot of mixed messaging coming from the White House, and it's, I think, in part intended to make everyone a little confused or maybe to make everyone see something that they want to see. So there is this date, 2014, and by that date, the United States will have removed, and this didn't change at all, will have removed the vast majority of the troops who are here and wound down that old great term, wound down combat operations. What does that really mean? And I think this is something that Afghans have been concerned about for a while, and that's why I think, even though maybe for political reasons the president might have preferred to just leave that out there, the idea that we're winding this down, but Afghans wanted to hear a little bit more about what we were planning to do in terms of staying, and I think that was what he was trying to do when he came.
Josh, I know one of the things you've been talking about is the obvious need for confidentiality and, you know, when the president makes a trip like this because of security concerns.
Right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I sort of inadvertently got caught up in that story without really meaning to, because I just happened to be one of those afternoons or evenings here staring at Twitter, working. If Ariana's listening, I was working very hard, but for the moment staring at Twitter.
Ariana's always listening.
I'm sure she is. there was a tweet that just flashed across from a pretty reputable Afghan news agency that says Obama is here. That turned out not to be true. He was on the way, but I retweeted it, sort of asking, "Could this be true?" And I think because I have a lot of followers in D.C., because that's where I normally am, that caused the story to kind of bounce around. And the White House and the State Department were in a little bit of a frenzy, trying to figure out how to tell us not to tweet about it without telling us that it's true. So they kind of blur the line between truth and falsehood for a while there.
Yeah, which is so unusual in politics.
It was really shocking. And, you know, we were all at the embassy the next day and sort of cracking jokes because we had to go to maybe where Crocker said that statement, the press conference, and talking to the press people about how if whatever they say is up is down and whatever they say is good is bad from now on, because they basically said categorically he wasn't there. So
right. Josh, what do you make of this whole debate back here? I mean, that the president is politicizing the death of bin Laden and yada, yada, yada. I mean, it just...
Yeah.
To me, it's fairly incredible with how, you know, the Republican Party, politicized 9/11 over and over and over again. And now, I mean, and frankly, this is what the president ran on, right? He said we're going to get out of Iraq. I'm going to double down in Afghanistan. We're going to get bin Laden. And he's pretty much done what he ran on.
Yeah, I mean, without diving too much into the sort of partisan element of it, I think, you know, the point has been made by some people that Obama's speech here was the eve of the anniversary of 9/11. It was also the exact date of George Bush's landing on the Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier with the big mission accomplished banner.
Yes.
The point was made that, you know, politicization of national security thing, but it's taboo, but it's not, I mean, it's not, it's only sort of faux taboo. It happens all the time.
Well, I think politically and practically speaking, Joshua, what's, you know, I think helpful to the president is people like Mitt Romney and John McCain were on record saying this was the wrong path to follow to go into Pakistan if you had actionable intelligence.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, then again, you could argue that they were saying that in the context of politics and they would have made different decisions. I mean, you know, there's a million things to say. Amy Davidson, who's a very good blogger and editor at The New Yorker, wrote a blog post the other day saying, why not politicize it? I mean, how come politicizing is becoming this bad word when, in fact, these are the things that we should be debating, how you would make these decisions, and these are the things we should be talking about in a presidential campaign.
Well, and
you know,
I think...
The Afghanistan...
Right.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I mean, Josh, I was going to say, I mean...
Yeah.
Ah, sorry. This connection's a little, I don't know why. LA to Kabul is not the best. but you know, Josh, I think it also highlights the original lie that Romney and McCain, they both used the words bomb Pakistan. President Obama never said we're going to bomb Pakistan. He said if we have actionable intelligence, we are going to go in and take bin Laden out with or without their help. And that's exactly what he did, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch how the politics play that over Afghanistan. I think about this a lot. On some level, Obama has a logical reason to downplay our continued presence here, but Mitt Romney doesn't really have a reason to challenge him on it all that much because the Republican Party doesn't like us much more than the Democrats do. It's going to be interesting to see if it really becomes a big political debate.
Yeah, absolutely. Joshua, great stuff, and thanks for taking time for us all the way from Kabul. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure. Yeah, I hope so.
All right. Thank you, Joshua. Joshua Hirsch, he's the foreign policy reporter for the HuffPo. Ariana is always listening and always watching.
Darling, what are you doing tweeting? I have, you're supposed to be reporting for me.
I can see it from Mount Olympus.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Let's go to Jeff in Orange County. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Stephanie. I wanted to mention something you said a couple of weeks ago. You said you didn't like the use of the word progressive.
And oh, I think it's a weenie word. Liberal, say it. Yeah. Liberal.
That is exactly my point, and you're the first one I've heard say that, and it just annoys me that liberals don't have the guts to call themselves liberals.
And that's why we started the Sexy Liberal Tour. It's sexy to be liberal. It means you're empathetic, you're open-minded. There you go.
Well, you know, it's like it's a surrender to Frank Luntz. Let Frank Luntz set all the terms of the debate. You know, the job killing health care bill, the job creators,
right. The
pro-life people who believe that abortion should be illegal even when necessary to save the life of the mother, and they're ardent supporters of the death penalty. You know, how do they get away with this?
Yep, exactly right. Jim in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to let you know that I went to the Sexy Liberal Show in Asheville and sat like two rows behind your mother and Lisa.
Oh, boy. and unfortunately, my
really
mom couldn't hear a thing.
Yeah, well, that was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I heard it all and enjoyed it.
Good.
But I wanted to congratulate you guys on the show on Current, and I'm watching you as I'm talking to you, so it's kind of funny. What I wanted to call about was I have started a chapter in Tallahassee of the Drinking Liberally group.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would go well with your Talking Liberally show. And we're trying to get a little blue here.
I do that as a hobby. I drink liberally as a hobby.
Well, I thought maybe that would fit in with you. We know you like the box wine. So.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm throwing a shout out to all the Drinking Liberally people across the country. And,
awesome.
Hopefully we can help the president keep his job.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. All right. By the way, we were just talking to a reporter in Afghanistan. Speaking of war zones,
mm-hmm.
We were just talking this morning about doing our coverage from the Republican National Convention in Tampa.
Yeah.
Guess what we have to look forward to, Jim?
Oh, Tampa in August.
Rick Scott allows guns at GOP convention
to
protect citizens from protests.
Yeah.
Won't that be nice?
Yeah, protect them.
We have
them
Stand
from
Your Ground law and...
And
wow.
Possibly hurricanes. So,
oh,
great.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah, did you see this? Florida Governor Rick Scott has officially rejected a proposal by the city of Tampa to limit firearm sales outside the RNC in Florida later this year. The council... Okay, just get the absurdity of what's happening. The council has already issued a citywide ban on items like pieces of wood, switchblades, slingshots, containers of bodily fluids, in case you carry that with you.
Is that a big
you.
Problem?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And even squirt guns.
But guns, real guns,
so
but real fine. Guns,
your
they're
hair
fine.
Will be fine. A so-called clean zone around the convention area would prohibit string longer than 6 inches.
What, so you can't trip your opponent?
Yes, no silly string, nothing.
All right.
Glass containers, light bulbs, portable shields, and gas masks. A smaller protest area would prevent demonstrators from having camping gear, bottles, cans, and umbrellas. The Secret Service has said that only law enforcement should be able to carry firearms inside of the convention center. A council member told Rick Scott a gun ban was necessary to prevent a potential tragedy. The Tampa mayor said the absurdity of banning squirt guns but not being able to do anything about real guns is patently obvious.
Yeah.
Given the nature and potential dynamic of this event, I think it would make sense that you would not want firearms introduced into that environment by people other than law enforcement. The mayor suggested that Tampa could become fodder for the late-night comics, you think?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the early morning ones as well. Because of something that has nothing to do with us and nothing to do with our ability to control the situation, it's elevated by Trayvon Martin, obviously. Legal experts said in the emotionally charged protest environment, another tragedy could take place that was covered by the controversial Stand Your Ground law that allows gun owners to use deadly force in public places with no duty to retreat. So, wow. Humidity and now we'll have to wear Kevlar in the heat and humidity of...
Should we be rethinking our trip to Tampa?
Yes.
I'm rethinking as we speak. Wow, we...
You really take your life into your own hands going to Florida. Mm,
yes, and I'll be wearing my sexy liberal gear, so that'll be...
Help me
out.
40, yikes.
Yeah.
They make a great target.
Yeah. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
A child is black, a child is white. The whole world looks upon a sight, a beautiful sight.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Get it. Go on. 15 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Danny in Phoenix. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Yeah, hey, I was just wanting to speak to the GOP. Now, they've criticized President Obama, pointed fingers in his face, but he hasn't done anything. But I want them to close their eyes for just a minute and imagine if he was white.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Talking to you, Jan Brew, with your bony old white lady finger. Yeah. Okay.
Saddlebag face.
Ryan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Hi. Go ahead.
Just want to let you know, I'm actually driving my wife to the hospital now. We're going to give birth, or she's going to give birth, rather, tonight.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're cranking the Stephanie Miller on the way there.
All right. Yay.
It's going to be a baby boy, so I was wondering if you guys had any name ideas.
I don't know. I think the Romneys took up all the names.
Barack.
I was thinking Jim Ward.
Okay. There you go. All right. How about Matt Safran? My dogs. All right. Well, listen, we're better than an epidural. Thanks for listening. All right. Thank you. All right. Maybe not.
Way too common.
Wow. This gets more and more confusitating. We've been playing that anti-gay preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Says you can punch the gay out of your kids, essentially. The wife of a North Carolina state senator said the proposed amendment to ban marriage equality across the state is necessary to preserve the Caucasian race.
Sure, of course. It's only logical.
What? Yeah, because, you know, the gays are breeding left and right.
That's what they do.
Wait a minute. You're getting your homophobia and my racism.
Right. Because all homosexuals
are black. A poll worker allegedly overheard
when they procreate, then...
Yes. So, worker allegedly overheard her say, during the conversation, Ms. Brunstetter said her husband was the architect of Amendment 1. One of the reasons he wrote it was to protect the Caucasian race. She said Caucasians are whites, created this country, we wrote the Constitution. This is about protecting the Constitution. There already is a law in the books against same-sex marriage, but this protects the Constitution from activist judges.
From activist black gay judges.
Right.
The kind of activist judges that installed George W.
Yes,
Bush in
exactly.
2000.
She's a little confused. Okay.
Wow. That makes no sense.
Sherry in California. Hi, Cher.
Hi, Stephanie. I know off and on you've been talking about the mission accomplished the last couple of days.
Right.
And I don't think anybody has mentioned that Dana Perino, George Bush's wind-up Barbie doll press secretary, said that the
If she was George Washington's press secretary, she looks good.
Yeah, she's well-preserved.
Wow.
Yes.
Damn.
George Bush, I need more coffee.
Wow, we've learned so much today. And apparently my dad ran with Abraham Lincoln in 1964. This is some historical fun facts today.
He would have won, had that been the case.
Yikes. Okay, we were talking about this top Romney economic advisor, the donor, who's writing the book about what America really needs, more income inequality.
Yeah, sure.
Edward Conard, a top donor to the super PAC backing Mitt Romney, is writing a book that calls for more income inequality in the U.S. His book is Unintended Consequences, Why Everything You Know About the Economy is Wrong. takes various views that are not shared by many analysts, quote-unquote.
Animus.
According to economists. One of the economists that does, at least in part, share Conrad's views is one working for Romney. Glenn Hubbard, an economist and top Romney economic advisor, takes Conrad's broad economic ideas seriously, according to the New York Times. And that is, we do not have enough income inequality.
By the way,
the top 1% and even
the
more.
The word connard in French means jerk, idiot, schmuck.
Really?
Basically, yes.
Wow, how off base. Okay. Mittens.
People ask me, well, what would you do to get the economy going? I say, well, look at what the president's done and do the opposite.
Wow, there's a low bar for humor,
you know,
among those rich folk.
Yeah, he thinks he's getting these pointed jabs in, but he's not giving us anything specific that he would do.
Yeah.
That was a joke. That wasn't anything.
Well,
that wasn't policy.
Well, the president would go forward, he'd put it in reverse and do what George Bush did. Only worse.
My whole candidacy is a joke. So
they always couch it. It's always the small business thing. That's what it's all
about. What the president did was one item after another, make it harder and harder for small business to thrive and to grow and to start up.
Sure.
It was the most anti-small business administration I've seen probably since Carter.
Uh-huh.
Who would have guessed we'd look back at the Carter years as the good old days, you know?
There he goes.
In other news, Chrysler Group, LLC, is canceling the traditional summer shutdown at three more of its factories to keep up demand for its hot-selling cars.
Oh, my goodness. Why? It seems like that...
That
auto rescue
Tommy
was a good
Kenyan
idea, wasn't it, Mittens?
You know, the Stephanie Miller Show is a small business.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, when he says small business, they refer to, you know, companies like ExxonMobil, that sort of thing, that they want more tax breaks and subsidies for.
There's a small business. Right
there. Yes. Mittens again.
The economy is made up of nothing but businesses. And so we have to encourage enterprise. I will make America a great place for entrepreneurs again, for small business.
Yes. For any all y'alls that can just borrow a whole bunch of money from
just
your parents. And
$50 million from your parents. What?
Why?
Huh? It's startup cash. It's all just a pittance.
I love the headline, Gingrich gives up on White House, not on lunar base.
Yeah.
He is, yeah.
I'm king of the moon, frankly.
We don't deserve him. He's going on to bigger things. He's going on to better planets that have better taste, frankly.
No oxygen, frankly.
He said he doubts whatever.
I don't mean the network.
He said he'll doubts he'll ever make another bid for president. I'm already 68. I believe Mitt Romney will become president. Right. I believe he'll do well enough to get reelected.
Right.
And I don't think in 2020 I'll be a plausible candidate.
You
were a plausible candidate this year? Oh, man.
I think Calista's returning to her native Mars.
He said he's been surprised by the irresponsible and cynical reaction to my proposals for space by the elites. Like Rick Santorum.
Yeah.
Sure.
And others that scoffed. Nudie yesterday.
Today, I'm suspending the campaign.
Oh, no.
But suspending the campaign does not mean suspending citizenship.
No. Huh? He's going to be a citizen.
So he's not going to be a citizen of the moon?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. No. Well, he's going to be president of the moon, not just a citizen.
I'm asked sometimes, is Mitt Romney conservative enough?
Here comes the endorsement.
And my answer is simple. Compared to Barack Obama? You know, this is not a choice between Mitt Romney and Ronald Reagan. This is a choice between Mitt Romney and the most radical leftist president in American history.
No.
Wow.
That's not
wrong.
That
true.
Is full-throated.
When he's a historian?
Yeah, some historian he is.
He's a mortgage historian, technically. Wow. That's inspired me. I may vote for Mitt now. Okay.
To the moon.
I claim this planet in the name of Mars.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with some memorable Newt moments next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number to join the party, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. By the way, the I'm a Sexy Liberal and I'm Too Sexy to Vote Republican baseball hats.
Yep.
Flying off the shelves at SexyLiberal.com. The Boogity Cheese one, in honor of Aisha Tyler rejoining the Sexy Liberal Tour, will be available at the venue in Minneapolis. If you buy tickets, tickets almost gone for May 12th, the Minneapolis Sexy Liberal Show. And this just in, Aisha Tyler also going to do the Boston show with us. Aisha Tyler rejoins the Sexy Liberal Tour for May and June 9th in Boston.
Uh-huh.
Tickets going fast. Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and I, Hal Sparks will have to stay in Germany. He's touring with his band.
Jawohl.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, go to SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook, on Twitter for all the upcoming shows. L.A. in July is close to sell out.
L.A. up in the club.
Yeah, right? Show me love up in the club, L.A. What?
Stop it.
Okay. And Columbus, Ohio in August, and Seattle for the big birthday show in September.
So will Heinrich Funken be playing at the Star Club in Hamburg with the Beatles played?
No, I'll ask him. Okay. And I've been giving out, you know, cooking tips for free, because why not? Oh, Jim, how was that today? I had a turkey meatball pasta.
Yummy.
Which actually I didn't make, but I tricked, you know how I trick you into doing stuff for me?
Yeah.
I trick my friends into coming and cook for me, because I got a really nice bottle of wine. I'm like, why don't you come cook me dinner and you can...
Is that what this little party on
yes.
Saturday is for?
Mm-hmm. Just tricking everybody I know into coming over to do
breakfast
stuff.
For next week.
Yes.
You're going to ask me to download some apps for you, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But I love you. Okay. Eric in Ohio, Steph, getting cooking tips from you is like getting fashion tips from Lady Gaga. You would burn her meat dress. Oh, shut up, Eric. I'm a good cook.
You burn the sauerkraut.
Depending on how I am.
My first experience eating stuff that you had cooked is burned.
My Thanksgiving sauerkraut.
Yeah.
It's healthy to have a glass of wine with dinner.
Uh-huh. Okay.
By glass, you mean some kind of glass container.
Yes. Yeah. Kevin in Chicago writes, Stephen the Moose, I think it's unfair, somewhat discriminatory, to give out recipes intended for your devoted fan base while ignoring Crackerland wingnuts who happen to listen. I'm looking at you, Bill, in Texas. So in the spirit of harmony and inclusiveness, please provide recipes for cooking meth. Thank you, Kevin. For people, if in case you're cooking meth in your pants, as we've had many stories for some reason about people with meth labs in their pants... I will try to get together some recipes.
We have no indication that Billy in Texas
cooks meth in his pants while he's listening to the Stephanie Miller Show. And we apologize to Billy in Texas. All right, but Billy, pay attention so it doesn't blow up in your pants. Okay, Susan in Seattle, thank goodness for my StephCast subscription because current isn't an option anywhere but in the house. I think I'm addicted. Good girl! Get it! Yeah, you need everything.
Yeah.
You need a StephCast for $4.95. You need a smartphone, a Stitcher, you need a... everything. You need a DVR for your current. You need a, you know.
Well, you can get the StephCast on Stitcher. You don't.
Sure.
That's not an extra thing you get. That's
I understand.
Just
you need
a
every doohickey that you can get.
Right.
Okay, Jessica with another unsolicited testimonial. Steph, thank you. I'm so happy I got my mom the flowers from Pro Flowers. She's been having a rough go of it lately. The tracking had immediately told me they dropped them off and where. I called her up and told her to check the back door. My mom bawled. She needed that so badly. Thank you and for your Pro Flower plugs. I'm glad I took advantage. Please, type Stephanie in the box. Don't forget, Mother's Day coming up. All right, what people don't do is write me for advice like this. Can I have some advice column?
Okay.
This is from, Prudence. She's one of you. Do you read the advice column?
Oh, dear. It's Dear Prudence in Slate. Slate.com.
Yes.
Won't you come out to play?
Man asks advice column about his excessive farting. All you would get here are jokes. You would just get fart jokes. You wouldn't. I wouldn't have any solution. I would just...
We don't have a farting problem. We have a farting solution.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, I am, let's see. This is Dear Prudence. I'm a relatively normal 28-year-old man. I have an odd digestive system.
Oh.
So I have more problems with gas than average. My problem comes in when I date. Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
I can generally hide my problem for the first few dates. But when it begins to get more physical, it's impossible to leave the room in the middle of things.
Oh.
I cringe at the thought of what to do when the inevitable happens. We're talking farts during sex.
Maybe you have gluten sensitivity.
I have a new girlfriend. Oh,
who can't breathe through her nose?
For some reason. Appears to be unconscious. Prudence, help me. And I think things are going that way, but I don't know what to do. Risk the sounds and smells? Warn her? Continue to live monk-like? Answer, see your doctor and gastroenterologist if necessary. You may have some kind of digestive disorder that needs diagnosing.
Yes. I'm thinking gluten sensitive.
I think we need the patriotic music to salute him. Whatever his name. Oddly, he didn't say his name. I guess he's wanted to remain anonymous, although I think most of his friends know who he is.
Yeah. What? Is it something I said? Something I ate? Everything I've eaten in the past 20 years. Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay. And now, a story about a bear. Okay.
A bouncy bear.
Oh, it's a story about a bear in bouncy houses. You know, like to get for the kids?
It's a bouncy bear.
Did you see this? Little Rock, Arkansas. A black bear climbed into a tree in Arkansas and refused to come down. Authorities turned to a local hardware store that rents inflatable houses and castles for children's birthday parties. And so the bear... Okay. They asked. They set up two of the bouncy houses, and then they shot him with a tranquilizer dart, and they fell at the bouncy houses.
He bounced on the bouncy houses.
Bears bounce, didn't you know?
And bumbles.
They fell the bouncy castle. Okay.
Didn't I ever tell you about Bumbles? Bumbles bounce!
Wow, here's a bear story with not a too happy... Could have been a not happy end.
Oh.
Vermont governor... See, this is something I would do, because I'm not so bright, and frequently at night I'm...
Naked.
I was going to say.
Drunk?
Yes, well, and sometimes both. In Vermont, a late-night encounter with four bears trying to snack from backyard bird feeders gave Vermont's governor a lesson in what not to do in bear country. One of the bears chased and nearly caught the governor while he was trying to shoo the animals away. Yeah,
don't
try to
shoo that.
Don't shoo. Bears don't like to be shooed. He was watching them get into his bird feeders and thought, I figure I got to get the bird feeders out of there. They're going to make this a habit. Yeah, I would wait till the bears are gone.
Yeah.
And then I would... He said he ran out and first grabbed two of the feeders. As he grabbed the other two and made his escape, one of the bigger bears was interested in me.
Yeah.
The bottom line is... Oh, and he said, I'm not a big pajama person. The bottom line is the bears were dressed better than I was, and that could have done some real damage. Yeah, do not chase bears naked in your yard. For God's sakes.
Hey, those pink things look tasty.
Yeah. He just sees you as a big hunk of meat, a big steak. That's all he sees you as.
You got a sausage?
Ew.
Okay.
Hey.
Ew. All right. Oh, give me some music for most memorable Newt moments, because we are... we're missing him already. Newt Gingrich, yesterday dropping out of the presidential race.
I'm not totally certain I will get to the moon colony. I am certain Maggie and Robert will have that opportunity if they want to take it.
Oh, his grandchildren. He's a family man.
Mm.
Okay. All right, yes, here are the my most memorable Newt moments. Refuses to tell Face the Nation that he paid $500,000 to Tiffany's. Go talk to Tiffany's, he said. And then they did, and it turns out he did.
He did,
Okay. Gingrich and his wife Callista go on a luxury cruise to Greece and Turkey. Next day, top staffers quit en masse.
Yeah.
I'm going on a cruise. You guys carry on. Said child labor laws entrap poor kids and propose that schools fire janitors and hire local students to clean their schools instead. Pledges to run a positive campaign and not attack fellow Republicans. Remember that?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was good. Calls Mitt Romney a liar in a tense interview with CBS Nora O'Donnell. Tells Romney to cut the pious baloney during the NBC News debate. Debate crowds boo moderator Juan Williams, remember, for asking Gingrich if he understands why people of color think it's insensitive to suggest kids should do janitorial work in school. This is one of my favorites, January 19th. Ex-wife Marianne Gingrich reveals that he wanted an open marriage. When John King asked him about it at the South Carolina CNN debate, Gingrich replies, I'm appalled that you would begin a presidential debate.
Pandemonium broke out.
I'm not talking about later. Oh, I forgot about this. Hamgate. Scheduled an event for the same time and place, Tommy's Country Ham House in South Carolina, as Romney. Journalists dub it Hamgate, but Romney shows up early.
These are pancakes.
Romney shows up early, avoids a showdown later that day. Gingrich wins the South Carolina primary, which apparently South Carolina likes ham and racism. Ham and racist. Okay. There's a green eggs and ham joke in there, Jim, but I can't get to it. I don't know what. No black eggs and ham, but, you know, green eggs and ham, fine.
I do not like them, Sam. I am, frankly.
No.
Nude I am.
Says that a campaign stop in Florida, by the end of my second term, we'll have a first permanent base on the moon. Visit the San Diego Jew. What?
What? There's only one in San Diego, and he visited him.
He did not knowingly visit any Jews except Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah.
That's for money. I apologize.
Here, have some kishka.
And I apologize to the San Diego Jew, who I'm sure...
sure the San Diego Jew is lovely, but...
Oh, my goodness, that was a faux pas. Visit the San Diego Zoo.
Sid Flagelman moved to San Diego.
Sid Flagelman moved to San Diego.
Hi!
And he lives in the zoo.
Sadie, the Schmendrick is here again.
Hi.
Welcome to the San Diego Jew. Oh, do we got a mishpuka up in here? We got that putz out here on the doorstep.
Hello,
again.
I'm the San Diego Jew. What do you want to know?
Oh, dear. Sometimes I barely recover from my missteps, and this time we've turned it into gold.
Yep.
All right, visit the San Diego Zoo, feeds a panda, makes at least three jokes referencing Anchorman, the legend of Ron Burgundy. Begins charging $50 for supporters to take a photo with him. And finally, a penguin bites his finger at the St. Louis Zoo, which is also not like the St. Louis Jew. But I bet you a St. Louis Jew would bite his finger.
Yeah.
Stay classy, St. Louis.
Oh boy. Stay classy and Jewy, San Diego. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. We are family.
Get up, everybody, and sing. We are family. I've got the San Diego Jew and me.
Okay, 24 minutes after the hour.
That was 1-800-STEP-1-2-D.
That's got to be the best hour, or the least crappy hour.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Buddy.
Hey, Mom, I've got an observation. Like, I think the Romneys are kind of stiff.
Really?
Oh, really?
What? What are you saying?
They always seem to, like, do awkward things, like have a pizza delivery thing where Mitt is seen, like, just dumping him off as soon as he's out of the way, or Ann Romney showing up in, like, a $1,000 T-shirt.
Yes.
And I've got a reason for this. They're not human. They're aliens.
Yeah.
They're really, and they're Romulans.
Yeah, exactly. I am, Tarjay, I think, my T-shirt today. $8.99, something like that.
Computer says, yes.
Who knew? Breaking news to the Romneys, you can get a T-shirt for less than $1,000.
Yeah, I outsourced the job that made that T-shirt.
All right. Oh, no. More bad news for Mittens.
What?
Guess what? The president's really cool and really sexy. Really handsome and romantic because he's Barack. Did you see that there's pickup tips from 22-year-old Barack Obama's sex life? Yeah. From Gawker.
Yeah.
Who's the best candidate gonna fix health care before it's too late?
Barack.
You're damn right. Who's the man who changed the economy for the working man?
Barack.
Can you dig it?
He's
the cat that'll get our troops out. He knows what Iraq is all about.
Barack.
Right on.
Yeah.
Some say Barack is a young mother. I'm just talking about Barack. He's an educated man who wants to be your president, man.
Yeah.
Barack Obama.
You gotta vote for this man.
Yes. Yes, can I have some sexy time music, please? Gawker writes, today Vanity Fair published an expert...
Expert? Are you okay?
Excerpt. from a new Barack
Obama...
Yeah,
I'm an expert. Why do you want to know?
An expert from the San Diego Jew.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's a new Barack Obama biography about his first serious girlfriend. There's a section when she was 25 and he was 22. Mm. When he was 22 and lived in New York. Using Barack's love letters and Genevieve's alarmingly well-written diary, they construct what shall henceforth be known as the four-step Barack Obama seduction technique. Step one, beanbag chair opener. Hours later, after midnight, she was about to leave when Barack Obama approached and asked her to wait. They plopped down on an orange beanbag chair. Oh, hot. Hot. At the end of the hall, and this time the conversation clicked. Step two, home-cooked dinner seduction. I'm pretty sure we had dinner maybe the Wednesday after. I think he cooked me dinner, and then we went and talked in his bedroom.
I bet.
Talked.
Step three. And then I spent the night. It all felt very inevitable. Step four, keep her wanting more with your hot bod and sexy stink. She remembered how on Sundays what? Obama would lounge around drinking coffee and solving the New York Times crossword puzzle bare-chested. I open the door that Barack keeps closed to his room, enter into a warm private space pervaded by a mixture of smells that so strongly speak of his presence, his liveliness, his habits, running sweat, brute spray deodorant.
Oh, God.
Smoking, eating raisins, sleeping, breathing. Oh. That's an odd mix, but okay.
Brute?
Brute?
Well,
brute and raisins.
Yeah.
Ah.
Nothing says 1980 than more than brute.
Brute? The smell of raisins? What?
What?
Okay. Wow. Speaking of sex, I did not need to know this from page six. Jane Fonda said, while I am, about her sex life, while I am quite flexible and I can kneel, it's not quite as comfortable for me as it used to be before I had a fake knee. Gawker writing, I really can't get the thought of arthritic rug-burned knees out of my mind, so please excuse me while I go lay down in traffic.
Go, Jane.
That's not what I was picturing.
Guess we know what position she prefers, mm-hmm. and I didn't need to know that. Woo! I did too many Jane Fonda's workouts in the 80s. Not sure, yeah. she does. There's a lot of those positions on your knees in that workout video. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, Congressman Adam Schiff joins us live in studio next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're coming off desperate, honey.
It is the... That's what I smell like. I smell like brute and raisins. I smell like sweaty desperation.
Yeah.
Okay, and broken dreams. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Why, this is a first. We have congressional royalty live in studio.
Yeah.
Representative Adam Schiff traveling mere yards, blocks to get here from where he lives in Burbank. And as you said, this is the best district.
In the history of the Republic.
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Hyperbole joins us this morning.
Beautiful downtown Burbank.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming now that we have the new TV show in addition to radio.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
I didn't realize what dreamy blue eyes you had. Well,
thank you.
Well, let's get serious because you're on some pretty serious committees. You were on...
The Intelligence Committee and the Appropriations Committee.
So, obviously, you know, this is in your area, this whole debate that's been going on with the anniversary of the killing of bin Laden and the Republicans criticizing the president for publicizing it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the president has done a remarkable job in the fight against al-Qaeda, and probably nothing demonstrates that more than finally the finding and killing of bin Laden. And this was something that... had long been sought after, very difficult finding basically a needle in a haystack. And
right.
I've had a chance to visit the region many times, and when you fly over Pakistan, Afghanistan, you look down from the C-130 and you see that endless mountainous landscape, and you realize right. finding a single person in that that is very aware of electronic surveillance, trying to remain right. hidden, it was a monumental task, and thanks to the extraordinary work of the intelligence community, our military, and our president, we succeeded.
Well, and politically speaking, Congressman, don't you think it's fair game, this ad and what the vice president has been saying, when you have Mitt Romney on record in 2007 criticizing the president's strategy, saying we shouldn't move heaven and earth and spend billions of dollars to get one man, criticize the president, then, you know, candidate for saying, if we have actionable intelligence, I will go into Pakistan with or without their help. I mean, isn't that fair game then to say... I don't think Mitt Romney would have done the same thing because he said he wouldn't have.
Well, it's absolutely fair game, and you better believe that if the operation had not been successful or we hadn't been successful in bringing to justice high-ranking members of Al-Qaeda, they would be attacking the president vigorously.
I don't think they would have mentioned it, Congressman. That would be rude. When would they ever attack the president?
But you're absolutely right. I think what we saw under the last administration was initially they put a very high priority on finding bin Laden. That proved to be enormously difficult, and it was enormously difficult. Right. And at some point, they made the decision, we need to lower the priority because this may just prove elusive for us. And they did lower the priority. And under this president, President Obama made the finding, the capturing, the killing of bin Laden, once again, a very top priority and dedicated the team to do it, the resources to do it, and succeeded in doing something extraordinarily important and difficult.
Well, and also, you know, we were just talking earlier this morning that, of course, Donald Rumsfeld said, oh, this wasn't a tough call. You know, Mitt Romney said any president would have done this. But you alluded to the difference when he brings up Jimmy Carter, for instance. I mean, you know, when things, as you say, go disastrously wrong, as something did under Carter, or look at Somalia, Black Hawk Down. I mean, it tells you why this was a tough call. Because as you just said, this could have been a disaster had it gone wrong, and it's a very high-risk operation.
Well, here's my take on this. If you have good actionable intelligence that bin Laden is in a certain location, I think you have to act on that intelligence. What makes the call difficult is there are several different options you can take. And the easiest option, the safest option, if that's the course the president wanted to take, would have been to drop a big bomb on that compound.
Which is, by the way, what Romney and McCain, at the time, both completely deliberately misconstrued what the president said and said. He said he would bomb our ally. He'd bomb Pakistan. The president never said he would bomb Pakistan, right?
Well, you know, what he said was that, you know, if he had actionable intelligence on a site and couldn't get the okay of the Pakistani government or basically couldn't trust that the information would be maintained, he would take the necessary action, which in this case he absolutely did. But I think the critical thing is there would have been so much less risk in simply dropping a munition on that compound and obliterating it, and then going back in later and if you're lucky, finding DNA. If we could do that, though, there would always have been a question, did we really get him? And it was important for the American people and important for Al-Qaeda and important for the world to know that he was captured and gone. But that meant a lot of risk to our people, and I think that's where the call got really difficult. Not necessarily the threshold, do we do something, do we go after this, but rather how do we do it, and do we take the added risk? I can only imagine the tension in that room when that helicopter went down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It would have been a Pyrrhic victory if we killed a lot of civilians in the process, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What is your reaction to, you know, some Republicans saying, well, the reason we got him is torture? That's how, I mean, flat out.
You know, I think that's completely bogus. And I've been on the Intelligence Committee now for 4 or 5 years. And we have looked at this issue. The Senate is in the process of completing a years-long study of this issue. I have never seen convincing evidence that torture got us good intelligence or better intelligence than we would have gotten through cooperative means. And I think if you talk with the CIA and if you talk with many in the FBI, they don't subscribe to this either. And it's just not who we are. And one of the things that I keep coming back to is, do we really want, when an American soldier, Marine, sailor is captured, do we want them waterboarded? Do we want them going through these enhanced techniques or torture?
We called it a war crime when the Japanese did it to our soldiers, right?
Mm-hmm. This is not who we are. And I've never seen convincing evidence that it works, that it produces any better leads than different strategies that don't involve that kind of coercion. It certainly produces a lot of red herrings and a lot of phony leads. Now, you know, other kinds of cooperative interrogation also provide a lot of phony leads. But there's no convincing evidence that I've ever seen that this is necessary. But one thing that is, I think, irrefutable, and that is we paid an enormous price for using these techniques in terms of how we think of ourselves, but also in terms of how the rest of the world views us and their willingness to cooperate with us. And that's a real cost. If we can't get countries to provide us access
right.
to their detainees or...
Well, and I think that it's provable, this latest trove of stuff that came out that Osama bin Laden had, I think it's provable that even the president changing the rhetoric has helped. I mean, bin Laden is on record as saying, this is hurting my recruiting, the fact that they're using this kind of anti-Muslim war on terror kind of terminology. I mean, I think the way he has changed how we are viewed in the world has been important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, like most struggles at base, an ideological struggle. And we need to be smart about how we wage it. We need to be tough about how we wage it. I think this administration has been phenomenally successful in both respects.
In fact, let me break some news to you. Guess who was just voted the most respected man in the world? President Barack Obama. I didn't give you time to guess, but it was a new six-country poll. I mean, Republicans like to make it seem like it's bad to have our leader be well thought of in other countries. They polled people who live in the U.S., Britain, France, Italy, Germany, Spain to name their favorite world leader. 77% chose Barack Obama. How do you think that would have gone during the Bush years?
Well, in Albania, it would have gone very well. He always did, for whatever reason, very well in Albania, but... No, it's enormously important to have a president who's well thought of around the world. When we want cooperation on sanctions on Iran or right. cooperation on North Korea, having a president who's respected makes a big difference.
Right. Dalai Lama, number two. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, number three. Just saying. Perhaps our next president. What?
Dalai Lama's going to be the next president?
Wow.
That is
good. You see what you did there? You took my... Okay. What do you...
There goes the military budget.
What do you think of the race thus far? I mean, first of all, it's been a best Republican primary for comedy ever, but now that we're down to... I have to say, I think the president's campaign, whether it's Axelrod, David Plouffe, even the vice president... I already think they've made an amazing case, and the general hasn't even started. The general election hasn't even started yet.
Well, you're absolutely right. First of all, in terms of the GOP primary, it has been the most interesting, entertaining primary that I can remember in my lifetime. And I'm really sorry to see it go. I was just hoping it would go on and on just for the sheer entertainment value. The president, I think, has thus far run a really remarkable, almost flawless campaign. And he needed to. It's a tough time. Economically, we're finally making progress and seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, but the economy is the paramount issue. And I think, getting back to the topic we were just discussing, it's fascinating that national security, which is always the push in the presidential race against the Democrats, our president is now thought of this is one of the primary reasons to vote for the president. That right. hasn't been true, I think, of a Democratic president since before Vietnam. So a remarkable right. achievement by the president.
Yeah. How do you do on the 3 a.m. phone call? Pretty good.
Pretty darn good.
Pretty good.
But because the economy is still struggling, this is going to be a tough year for any elected official and certainly the president. The fact that he is doing so well is a tribute not only to his policy record, but also the performance of his campaign.
Yep. Let's go to Sandy in Pennsylvania. You're on with the congressman. Hey, Sandy.
Hey, Steph. Here's your Keystone Connection again.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I want to know when Shecky Romney and Dennis Miller are going out on their comedy tour.
Yeah.
Wow.
Love Adam Schiff. Wish I lived in California. I could vote for him.
I wish you did, too. Especially after that.
I wanted to tell you.
Neener, you don't.
I watched Rock Center with Brian Williams last night where he interviewed everybody in the Situation Room. And time after time, the president gave credit to McRaven and more than anybody, the Navy SEALs.
Yep.
So Rush Limbaugh, of course, doesn't know what he's talking about. And real quick, ACLU voter ID challenge in Pennsylvania. Woo-hoo!
Okay.
Wow.
All right, thank you.
Crammed a lot of stuff in there.
Are you concerned, Congressman, about a lot of the voter suppression laws that Republicans have been trying to enact in a lot of states?
I'm very concerned. And, just on the caller's point, I just wanted to underscore something because to me it really struck me as a really classy thing the president did, and that was after the killing of bin Laden, calling former President Bush to give him the news, to let him know that this was the result of your work and mine and so many others. That was a real classy thing to do, but also I think an important thing to do, tell the country through that conversation that this is a continuity of efforts that made this possible. I thought that was a very grand an important thing the president did.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had that kind of class. I would have said, thanks for shutting the bin Laden unit down so I had to open it back up again and then go finish the job that you didn't finish. But, you know, I'm not known for taking the high road.
That's why you're not in D.C.
No. Yes, radio is all
everyone,
about the low
everyone
road.
Everyone in D.C. takes the high road, let me tell you. on the voter suppression, though, absolutely very concerned about this. And as we raise the bar in state after state really make it more difficult for people to get to the polls, it's unquestionably going to suppress voter participation. That's exactly the opposite direction. We can and must crack down on any kind of voter fraud, but we can have broad participation without fraud, and we have to do both. And these measures, unfortunately, make it very difficult for the elderly, make it very difficult for people who don't have access to identification.
Right, so we just got to work doubly hard to get out the vote and to help people that need to vote, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Representative Adam Schiff, who came yards to be here, really, really going the extra mile
don't
for us.
Don't let it
not
be said
really
that I wouldn't cross the street to come here.
That's right.
I did, and I would again.
Adam Schiff, going the extra 3 feet for us. We'll be right back with him live in studio 47 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the dirtiest show I have ever been on in all of my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
The other one's flipping off Dave Coulier.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. We want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days for this exclusive offer. GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. That's GoToMyPC. The promo code is Stephanie. We are joined live in studio by Representative Adam Schiff of the great state of California, who represents this area, not just this studio, but this entire Burbank.
Yes.
There you go. All right. And it's the first time because we're on TV, on current television, on Al Gore's network. Here we are. Not just on the radio.
Fantastic. Nice to see you in person.
Nice to see you, too. By the way, speaking of networks, did you see that Rupert Murdoch is not fit to run an international company, according to British lawmakers?
Well, yeah,
I did see that.
We already knew that here in America. They're behind the times in Britain. What do you think of that whole scandal?
I think it's appalling to imagine that they hacked into people's private lines, those that had lost loved ones, just staggeringly unbelievable, just shocking.
Yeah, well, and he still runs a network that I understand.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Owns one, interestingly enough. Okay. All right. You know, I was looking at a piece in Politico because I love the fact that a lot of the stuff that you work on, that you take time and do this. I was reading this Politico piece. Members of Congress, this job sucks. It says they don't make national policy anymore. They can't earmark money for communities back home. The public hates them as they head for the exits this year. Many leaving Congress say the prestigious job of being a congressman sucks now. And that's why few lawmakers are trading in our house. How many? There's a lot of people retiring this year.
There are a lot of people retiring. And, you know, the environment is, you know, unfortunately become very poisonous. And it's hard. It's the hardest since I've been there. I'll tell you the way I keep saying is instead of focusing on the large range of things that can't get done, I focus on the narrow range of things that can get done. And within that narrow range, there is still a great deal. One of the things that I enjoy, frankly, about the Intelligence Committee is it is the least partisan committee on the Hill, and probably in significant part because our hearings are not public for the most part. There's no grandstanding because there's no one to grandstand to.
Right.
And so I enjoy the fact that we get a lot done in the committee. We do a lot of important oversight, and it's in a very nonpartisan way. But it has gotten very tough to get things accomplished.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do keep coming back to one thing because I'm an optimist. If I wasn't, I would be joining the rush for the exits like some of my colleagues. Bill Clinton once said there's nothing wrong in America that can't be fixed by what's right in America.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenges that we face that all seem so insurmountable, whether it's the budget and deficits, energy, healthcare, et cetera, all of these things are eminently solvable, fixable, resolvable. And
right. Well, I mean, I know my dad was in Congress for 14 years and ran with Barry Goldwater in 64. But, I mean, it really is not overstating it to say back then they really did have, he at least had friends on both sides of the aisle. People went out for drinks together, and there really was not this level of you're a bad American and the level of sort of rhetoric, I think, that there is now.
That's very true. And, you know, one of the things that I try to keep in mind, before I was a legislator, I was a prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go into the courtroom, and I'd fight it out with the other side. And when the case was over, the case was over. And we'd walk out and have a beer, and that was the end of it. It wasn't personal.
Right.
And I've tried to maintain that ethic in Congress. I go to the floor. I'll have a hard fight with the other side. But it's over the issue, and when the fight is over, I look at that same member and think that may be my ally on the next one.
But, you know, that's interesting. My dad was an assistant prosecutor at Nuremberg, and I wonder if...
Wow.
There's a different mentality, even as, you know, Tom Brokaw says, the greatest generation, just the World War II mentality. Maybe because we had this other enemy, maybe you're right, it was just a sort of a different feeling about that, you know, we're all still Americans.
Well, and we need to find a way to capture that ethic again, because these problems aren't going to go away. We can fix them, but we need a political environment in which people can get together, get to yes, and not get their heads lopped off when they do.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm reading this article. Joe Lieberman, David Dreyer, Olympia Snow said, simply put, the Senate is not living up to what the founding fathers envisioned. You know, Barney Frank said, the anger in the country, the currents of opinion are such that the kind of inside work I felt best at is not going to be as productive in the foreseeable future, and not until we make some changes. Between Dreyer and Frank, the House is losing 64 years of legislative experience.
Well, I mean, it's very true. And, you know, one of the reasons we are where we are is... you have a situation where stalemate, stopping anything productive from happening, can be a winning political strategy. The GOP decided the best way to beat Obama was to make sure that
just,
he was a failure.
Right.
And that meant killing everything he proposed in the Senate.
That's exactly it, Congressman. The Tea Party is just against everything. Obama, no. Whatever. How about this? No, no, no. They're just the party of no. And I can't think of one thing that they have been for. They've just been for blocking everything that he has proposed, right?
Yes, and, you know, in the past we've had many people run for office as insurgents, running against the government. But once they got elected, they had to find a way to actually govern. This crowd has continued to campaign to tear down the government, which is, I think, unprecedented. At some point, you have to offer constructive solutions to the thing. It's not enough just to be tearing down.
Congressman, about 30 seconds. So in this cycle, do you see it being possible that the president gets a Congress that he can work with? I mean, you saw what happened in 2010. Do you think the pendulum's going to go back?
It's unquestionably moving back in the right direction. The question is whether it will move back enough in the House for us to retake the majority. We need a bit of a tailwind, and it's too early to tell. 2 years ago was interesting. You could see the die was cast. It was going to be a rough year for Democrats. This year, it's very tough to say exactly what will happen. And
talking to you, listeners, viewers, tailwind, you're the tailwind. Yeah, talking to you. All right, Representative Adam Schiff of the great state of California, thanks so much. Come back again. Join us real soon.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.